Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. I have Effie filling in for Qasim today, and our guest today is Connor. So Connor, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure, my name is Connor Hammes. Currently reside in Colorado, and I am a partner of Planet Growth, a group of architects, designers, engineers, and craftsmen with some technology background. And we've been busy inventing and patenting and trying to bring new inventions to the world.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
I was working out on the East Coast with Schneider Electric. I was in their advertising department, and all the buzz was bringing a sustainable world to light. And we were focused on smart buildings. At the time, I realized there was a lot of technology that was invested into and being built. And I was trying to understand what the world would look like 10, 20, 30 years down the road, where all this technology would need to be constructed into these buildings, and more importantly, updated and upgraded. And having done some construction work in the past, I realized that a lot of times we build a wall, we fisheye the electrical componentry through the stud walls, we insulate it, we cover it up with drywall, and we don't return to it possibly for decades. And so I just saw an issue there with being able to get back into the wall and be able to upgrade it easily.
Awesome. So can you talk like a little bit more about what specifically you do, and also what makes you better, I guess, you know, more unique than your competition?
Sure. Well, the team we brought together is quite unique. I would say the talent of the team is probably our advantage. We have an architect, a guy that inspected professional sports stadiums, has an entire lifetime of knowledge of building codes. We have another guy that built 100 Marriott hotels, over 200 Subway restaurants. So he's got quite a bit of time with the hands-on, you know, developing and finishing interior walls. We're working with the son of the president of the Dairy Farmers Association out of Wisconsin. He's a commercial farmer. He's got just great logic. I don't know if you guys spend much time with farmers, but they just kind of seem to figure out solutions using common sense. We've got some 3D designers, guys that are well known in the industry, go to big, huge trade shows and build some of the most cutting edge 3D technologies. So, you know, we really just assembled a good team of people, but, you know, the idea hasn't been shown to the world. Obviously, we received a patent, so there's nothing else like it. And we believe that our methodology and the solution that we have is something that's, you know, it's affordable, it's easy to build. We've been talking to some major, major corporations, some of the top groups, and they said this is a real world problem the real estate industry is facing. They don't know how to remodel and bring technology into existing buildings. It's going to cost them a fortune to tear the walls apart. So we just fast forward through all of that, and we just build on top of what's already there, using materials that exist already. And, you know, for the cost per square foot, we're going to deliver a solution that's going to hopefully change the world.
Awesome. So in terms of the people that you're serving, or I guess going to be serving, what does that look like? I mean, obviously, you can't mention specific companies, but if you want to talk more about, you know, industry or company size, you know, revenue, what does that look like in terms of, you know, your ideal customer for your business?
Sure. Well, we run right to the top. We figure with a couple of press releases and some of the brand names that you guys have all heard of, we'll establish ourselves pretty quickly there. One market is rentals. 25 of the largest REITs in the United States uses this business. They're consultant to ensure that they're getting the best consultation and the best products from all the suppliers in the technology smart home building space. So we have a feeling we'll probably enter the residential market through them. There's a big development going in with hotels and all kinds of things that we plan on hopefully getting a shot at showing this in as a pilot project. Hospitals. I just saw a really interesting interview with one of the top construction companies in America. They were talking about integrating the physical and virtual spaces. Their construction lead said they need to find the little guys that are doing all the work in the dark because they themselves just don't understand what this is going to look like when it comes time to integrate all of these great technologies into the customer experience. So, you know, that interview was last week and they're saying they need to find guys like us. So been reaching out to everybody. We're kind of new to the industry, so I don't know that people quite know who we are yet, but I think after a couple of press releases, I'd love to see this in hospitals. I'd love to see this in franchises. I'd love to see this, in drive-thrus. There's all kinds of applications. I mean, there's walls everywhere. It's kind of the core of the business world when it comes to real estate. It's what the customers interact with. It's where all the switches, it's where all the outlets are, where all the LCD monitors and screens and all the, the smart interfaces are going to be located to manage HVAC systems, manage entertainment. And, we want to be right there to meet the customer when they enter the building.
That's awesome. Now, for you, I don't know how long you've been a partner with Planet Growth, but what were some of like the biggest challenges maybe you faced in the past and maybe you're currently facing now in this company?
Sure. Well, it all goes back to the housing crisis. I was a real estate broker at the time, and it was ironic. I saw everybody leaving and packing their bags, and the only guy that seemed to be making any money at the time was the website developer. He was managing the company's website. He kept getting checks. So, I've sort of seen, the booms and the busts. With this business, we've been operational now for about 6 years. We've built quite a few buildings. I was kind of in our research and development phase, just really picking apart, how did people do this kind of thing, in the 1800s, 1900s, what led us to where we are today? Keeping in mind the whole time we were, obviously moving towards some sort of a solution where, you could build an interior wall that could be attached, detached, and reattached without having to destroy any building materials, making it much easier for electricians, plumbers, people that were going to be integrators to have access to all of the utility lines. And so I'd say the biggest hurdle was just, keeping cash flow moving, and learning. We weren't flipping houses, just touching up the way the kitchen looked and putting on the market, and trying to make a 10%, increase in profit. We were actually taking the time to pull walls apart piece by piece, have the discussions around, what could we do to, reassemble the wall in a way that would bring long-term benefits to, not just the buyer, but the guy like myself, 100 years from now, who's going to come back and try to remodel that same building. We were finding things like knob and tube wiring from, 1890 still existing in the walls. We were finding newspaper clippings from 1913 from The Economist selling a new invention. It was the cash register. It was brand new, so it just kind of showed us that, people just kind of paper over a lot of things in life to try to make money and just keep moving quickly. We looked at it, totally different. We wanted to learn and we wanted to invent something that was going to bring utility to the world. So our biggest challenge was, having the cash flow to take the time to, really discover and research. And, I'd say that it's very similar to my great grandfather and his brother. They got tired of listening to their wives complain about food getting stuck in their kitchen sink. So they spent 10 years tinkering in the garage, eventually patented and invented the garbage disposal and started an incinerator and brought that to the world. So, it's kind of in my bloodline, take a big idea and really see it through.
Awesome. So can you talk more about the technology involved? So, what is the tech stack currently? And, do you have like a software engineer as a partner? Like, what does that look like for you?
Sure. Well, we're not developing software at this time, although I've done quite a bit of software development in the past with consulting through like Harley Davidson, General Electric, some of the corporations that we service. Our goal on this was we realized there was plenty of people working on software. There's no shortage of smart home software. Johnson Controls is a big company that's building smart building technologies, and the list goes on and on and on. Siemens, and so the thing that we recognized was, and then you guys know this being in software, maintenance is a huge portion of any software development project. And so being able to access the hardware, to be able to update your software, to be able to continue to manage and develop on top of your software is something that every company that's currently in the smart home building industry is going to have to deal with. And we just saw an opportunity to come at it from the construction side, which is, how do you build hardware to be able to make those people's lives easier so that they can continue to develop and make their systems better. If they can continually update and upgrade, they can do more business. The home consumer can, continually have a better experience. If, it costs thousands of dollars to cut into drywall, to remove insulation, just to get access to upgrade a simple component of a software platform, you're talking a lot of capital just to be able to upgrade. So we wanted to reduce that. And that should hopefully spur innovation in the industry as a whole.
That's really great. That's awesome. Now also with, with all the patents and all this work you've been doing, AI is the big talk of the day and also probably the foreseeable future. Have you and your company implemented AI in any of your designs or just any of your work with other companies?
So when I was working with Schneider Electric, we got to do some work with AI. It was fun. The one project I saw that they did that really opened my eyes was a group of farmers out of New Zealand hired them to develop a weather monitoring system for their watering. So days when it would rain, they just shut their watering system off. It's interesting that, that AI was able to help them reduce their water usage in half. That was a really cool project. Worked with Microsoft and Microsoft's artificial intelligence department to write a website that just talked about the artificial intelligence industry. They were working, partnering with Schneider, but it was more of a general overview at the time. So, this was going back about 6 or 7 years ago. And then I think my last consulting gig in the technology industry, I worked with Mohawk Industries and helped them devise a personalized web experience for their customers. So if John James from California came to the website at the same time that Susie Jones did from Boston, they'd get a different, unique, personalized experience. They'd get different ads served. They'd get different messaging, different imagery. So that was about the last project I worked on that was technology specific. It's happening. There's more and more projects that are coming to the real world.
Definitely. So, you mentioned that you work for Schneider. You had a very lucrative career before doing this. So, making that jump to be an entrepreneur, I'm sure wasn't easy, and you're talking about, capital, like what made it specifically that time was right to make the jump? Because I think that many people struggle with that. They're working a full-time job or they have a good salary. Like, oh, I don't know if this makes sense. So what for you is like, okay, this is the time I need to go and do this now.
Yeah, that's a great question. You hear this discussion all the time. I was raised in a family of entrepreneurs. All my uncles all work for themselves, and I think it's just something that's in certain people's DNA. There's this drive to not just work for yourself, make money, and all the benefits that come from having success and entrepreneurial stuff, but it's really it's about wanting to actually create something that actually changes the world. Kind of the way that I looked at it. I'm always thinking about what am I going to be feeling and thinking on my deathbed when I reflect back and look at, what did I do with the time that I had on this amazing planet? And I think for some people, it's just really, it's knowing that they gave their all in this world. And, I had a great experience in corporate America. I worked with some amazing people, got to work on some fun projects. And that time we threw the North American Innovation Summit. So we were bringing together the top corporations in North America, and we were discussing alternative energy. The big discussion at that event in Atlanta, was a two-day event, was the decentralization of energy. And solar was starting to kind of catch on, and there was some movement away from fossil fuels. And so I think for me, to answer your question, it felt like the right time because it seemed like there was some disruption that was coming in the energy sector. And, energy is the top of the game. It's like energy and agriculture are the two things that civilization runs off of. So I just felt that if there was an opportunity to catch on to something that might change because of the disruption, that, you know, it was time to make that move.
Awesome. So you mentioned that your plan is to work with some of the largest companies in the world. What is your marketing strategy? How are you reaching these companies and telling them, you know, just about what you're doing and how you're really going to shake things up?
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing is you got to develop a relationship. So, you know, it's been more personalized messaging, you know, phone calls, you know, just kind of getting to know people on an individual basis. And then secondly, when you let them know what you're doing, they'll let you know pretty quickly if they think there's a future for you. You know, these guys don't, you know, they don't lead you on. So, you know, it was a nerve-wracking period, you know, going from all this investment and patenting work and everything else to finding out if, you know, the industry was going to even have an interest in it. Our first few conversations went very well. And, you know, we were told that we were solving a real world problem. I think is really important for most entrepreneurs to decipher that. You know, you got to ask people that are in the business what kind of a future you have with the ideas that, you know, you're bringing to the table from their perspective. We were told we may be a little early. The smart home and sustainable building model is probably going to align more closer to like 2030 for it fully opening up. You know, so we know we came in a little early, but that's okay. It's always better to be early than to be late. So, you know, I think as far as a marketing strategy goes now, we're building our first real world project as we speak. And we'll be sharing out videos of the final work product to everyone in the network that we'd like to continue to grow with. So we're going to show them what this looks like, not in a 3D design or an architectural rendering, but, you know, we're going to have hands-on video. And from there, our goal is just to secure pilot projects right now. We want to show that this is something that will be approved at a local building code level. We want to show that this is something that is going to last. We want to show that this is something that maintenance people and building owners enjoy, appreciate, respect. And I think the only way to actually truly, you know, do that is to give them the product. And so our next phase is we'll begin developing relationships with construction companies who build these kinds of walls every day and help them understand the benefits of building a wall in this way. We're using our hardware and hopefully through word of mouth. That will spur the sale of the hardware moving forward.
Awesome. So in terms of the hardware and manufacturing, what does that look like for you? Is it made in the U.S. or did you have to outsource it from outside the States? Like, what was that process like?
Sure. Well, we didn't necessarily try to align with a specific country. We did our homework. We found a great small shop. Actually just north of U.S. border in Canada. We have a great partner over there with about 40 years of mechanical engineering and automation build process manufacturing experience. He's trustworthy. He's a good guy. We like him. And he's got tens of millions of dollars in equipment. So he has the ability to scale with us. And our hardware is really simple. You know, this is more just about a methodology. It's more about understanding how construction works. And, you know, we put a little engineering, little architecture in there. You know, we incorporated the needs of the technology industries. But, you know, we didn't invent a rocket ship here or anything like that. We just came up with a better way to do something that now when we show this to younger people, especially who don't have the background in building, they go, well, why didn't you do it this way all the time? Why did we do it that way, that other way all these years? And, you know, I think that's it's really a tribute to, you know, it's just the way humans work. We just kind of, we get used to doing something. We train everybody on how to do it that way. And as long as it works, you know, people just keep doing it. And, you know, ultimately the hardware is going to just give people a different way.
That's really cool. That makes a lot of sense. Now for you, you said you live in Colorado. Now, besides that being a beautiful state, I love Colorado. Was there any benefit for you, like for your business, like good connections, meet some people? Was it helpful that way as well?
I'm glad you enjoy Colorado as much as I do.
I love it. The mountains, the skiing, the hiking. It's great.
Yeah, it's great for the soul.
Yeah.
Such a peaceful place. And for sure. I really like the people here.
Yeah.
There's like a sense of community. I live in the mountains. I'm up at 10,000 feet. So I'm almost to the very top of the rock.
Oh, wow.
You know, when we get snowed in here in the winter, you know, neighbors come together. And I think to answer your question, this actually began back when I was 18 years old. I attended the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs.
Oh, wow.
I did my basic training in Pike National Forest. And I just promised myself back then that one day I would get back out here, not in a professional capacity as much as just I had a personal desire to spend a little time learning how to live in the mountains. You know, they have the term mountain man. And it was just, you know, it was one of those things that just it piqued my interest. And I can tell you, I hope you guys get a chance to spend some serious time in the mountains alone at some point in your lives, because you learn to let go. You learn to care less about what society thinks. You learn to deal with internal things that maybe have happened in your life that, you know, you just haven't taken the time to sit down and really process. You know, it's in a way, it's a cleansing experience. And, you know, I think it helps you refocus your life a little bit. So, those were some of the reasons I wanted to do it initially. I got up here 3 years ago, 4 years ago, brought a bunch of building materials in a semi. And, in 2020, I just started building a small cabin with my bare hands and,
wow.
And followed through on my life dream of building a small cabin in the middle of the mountains, learning how to be self-sufficient.
It really does sound very cleansing. Yeah, really nice. But you also, when you started this company, what I guess what was the biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew and maybe be helpful for any other entrepreneur to know?
I think after 6 years of you know, pursuing this and, you know, all the blood, sweat, and tears.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's going to take some serious commitment. I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand how difficult it can be in the beginning. But, you know, that's like everything in life. You only know what you know. I'd say trying to find a way to go from conceptualization to the actual product development phase, trying to figure out a way to get that done as quickly as possible is probably the advice I'd give to some. I think sometimes we overthink and we think that if we just continue to conceptualize that, you know, we'll get a better product.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Get that MVP.
Yeah. But ultimately, it really comes down to learning that certain things won't work, or that, you know, there's less expensive ways to do things, you know, and saving your capital for that phase is really, really, truly, I think, where a lot of people fall short. Mm. And so, you know, try and get the hard work done as quickly as possible. And start building products that you're interested in developing as early as possible would probably be my best advice.
Makes sense. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or best way to get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So our company is Planet Growth. Our website is https://www.planetgrowth, spelled planetgrowth.com. And my personal email address is the letter C as in Charlie, planetgrowth.com.
Well, Connor, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure. We're rooting for you as your company is going to, you know, hopefully take off and keep growing.
You guys are amazing. I love you guys reaching out to the community. I'm learning so much about different products through all of you. And,
thank you. Thank
you're just
you.
A pleasure to be around, guys.
Thanks, Connor.
Thank you so much.
Nice talking to you.
You as well.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.